Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have another healing miracle before us today in the Gospel. It was just 2 weeks ago that we had the healing miracle of the healing of the man who was deaf and mute. You remember at that time what we said, every healing miracle teaches us two things. First, that Jesus is the promised Christ, the Son of God, sent by God the Father into the world. And second, that Jesus, and therefore our God, is not only all-powerful, but also full of compassion. We see those things again in today's healing miracle, but what does this particular miracle add to our understanding? Well, there's a lesson here about thankfulness. And not just thankfulness, but also thanksgiving. And not only thanksgiving, but also giving thanks in the right way, in the right place. Let's turn to our text. Jesus was heading down south to Jerusalem. He was between the territory of Galilee and Samaria. So it doesn't surprise us, really, that there is at least one Samaritan found among that group of 10 lepers, 10 men with that terrible skin disease called leprosy, who confront Jesus. Got to learn about Samaritans a little bit last week in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans lived between the Jewish territories of Galilee and Judea. They were not friends of the Jews. They were considered foreigners by the Jews. But this group was all together, 10 men, Jews, and at least one Samaritan, because disease, like death, can be the great equalizer. They all had to live away from society, away from the worship of God in His temple, because God's law demanded that they live apart. But these 10 men had heard the word about Jesus, that He had power over the human body to heal every kind of disease. And they had heard that Jesus was merciful and compassionate and willing to help. And that simple word about Jesus had created faith in their hearts, at least faith that He could and would heal them of their leprosy. That faith led them to approach Jesus from a distance and to cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." A simple but meaningful request, a request made in humility and in recognition of Jesus as Master. He was above them and above nature itself, as He was able to speak a word and nature had to obey. He did have mercy on them, but instead of cleansing them right there on the spot, He had something to teach them and to teach every generation afterward. So He simply said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." The Old Testament law had some elaborate requirements for those whose leprosy went away, which may not have been many people actually. Starting with going to the priests in Jerusalem, so that the priests could examine the people and then begin the rituals and the sacrifices so that they could be legally pronounced clean and then re-enter society. It all started with showing yourself to the priest. Well, these men clearly understood from that instruction from Jesus that He would heal them, and they believed. So off they went, and sure enough, before they got too far away, they realized that their leprosy was gone. Their skin was restored. They were clean. All 10 of them. But this is where we see the difference between 9 and the 1. The nine kept going toward Jerusalem, surely rejoicing and very happy. The one returned to where Jesus was to give thanks and praise to God. Now, it may well be that the other nine uttered a prayer of thanksgiving to God when they noticed that they were clean of their leprosy as they kept going toward Jerusalem. It may well be that they said a silent prayer in their hearts, thanking God for healing them. But Jesus obviously expected more than that. He answered, "Were not all 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there none found to return and give glory to God except for this foreigner?" You see, God is present everywhere. As the psalm says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." God is everywhere, and surely God hears prayers in every place, in every language, including the prayers in our hearts that don't even make it past our lips. But at the time this miracle took place, God had chosen to stand in a single place on earth in the person of Jesus. He made himself available to the world in the place where Jesus was, so that a person could go to him and ask him for help and receive help from him, so that a person could also return to him to give thanks to him in person, as it were. The 9 healed lepers did approach Jesus where he was to ask for healing, but they neglected to thank him in person for that healing, while the one Samaritan did, prompting Jesus' favorable reply, "Your faith has saved you." Now, God is the source of every good thing and has provided abundantly for all people everywhere, for which all people owe him thanks and praise. But what good would it be to give thanks to God for daily bread and for daily blessings while failing to give thanks for his greatest gift, for the gift of his Son given to the world to die for the world's sins, so that through him sinners might be reconciled to God, turned from his enemies into his dear children, and made heirs of eternal life? If you don't, above all, want to give thanks for Jesus and to Jesus, then God the Father doesn't even want your thanks for the other things. He won't let you approach him except through his Son. But if you do want to approach him through Christ, if you want the healing of the forgiveness of sins that Jesus earned for you, if you want to give thanks to Jesus for his mercy and for shedding his precious blood for you, then where do you go to find him? The leper had it pretty easy in a way. He knew exactly where Jesus still was and was able to go find him where he was. Where should you go? You know many people. Just think, "I'll just say a prayer to God in my heart. Or maybe it'll cross my lips and I'll thank God for all his goodness to me. Anytime, anywhere. And that's good enough." Well, again, God is present everywhere. And he hears all the prayers that his children utter in Jesus' name. It's absolutely appropriate to give thanks to God in your heart and in your personal prayers. Jesus encourages believers to pray on their own, to pray often. And God absolutely hears and accepts those prayers. But Jesus has made himself present here on earth and expects people to seek him where he promises to be. And where is that? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Or he said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them, and behold, I am with you. Or he said, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. Now when unbelievers encounter the preaching of Christ, they encounter Christ. When Christians gather together in Jesus' name to hear his word preached by ministers whom Christ has sent, when Christians gather to worship Jesus together to receive his sacrament of holy baptism or of holy communion, he is there. He is there in a way that he isn't everywhere. He's there to teach. He's there to guide. He's there to forgive sins. He's there to receive our prayers and our praise and our thanks. And yes, in the closest possible way, Jesus is present in the sacrament of the altar. As St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And so Christians come together, as Jesus told us to do this in remembrance of him, to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and to know and believe that he is present with us under the bread and the wine, where he offers us the forgiveness of sins, and where we offer him our humble thanksgiving, just as the leper did when he fell down at Jesus' feet. Remember, the church has a special name for the Lord's Supper, always has. It's called the Eucharist, which means the thanksgiving. Just as Jesus wanted the lepers to return to where he was to give thanks to him in person, so he wants his Christians to keep coming to him, to keep gathering together in his name, both to receive healing from him and to give thanks to him. No longer physical healing, not until he comes again. But the spiritual healing that's far more important, that opens heaven to you and guarantees you a place with God forever. And if the Lord hasn't provided a faithful Orthodox pastor near where you live, if watching and listening online is the best you can do, then do that. And do it whenever possible with other believers, even if it's only two or three gathered together in his name. As for those who think they can just say a little prayer in their heart and intentionally not come to where Jesus has made himself present still here on earth, they will receive the same rebuke that those nine men received in their absence. So it's fitting and right that you've come here today, or if you live far away and you're watching online, it's fitting and right that you've set aside this time and gathered with others, if possible, not only to hear the word of God, but to give thanks to God in the right way and in the right place, where the saints are gathered in Jesus' name around the preaching of his word. But there is another way of giving thanks to God that doesn't involve gathering together for worship. It's the worship of the rest of your week and the rest of your life, which is also necessary and which actually takes up far more of your time and effort. Paul wrote this to the Romans in chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. present your bodies as living sacrifices. Not a sacrifice to pay for sins, but a sacrifice of thanksgiving with your whole life. Or as Paul put it to the Galatians in today's epistle, offer up your bodies every day, not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but to walk with the Spirit of God in true righteousness and holiness and the fruit of the Spirit. That's your daily sacrifice of thanksgiving. But that daily sacrifice requires refueling, if you will. It requires hearing the Word of God regularly so that the Holy Spirit can build you up in faith, guide you in what is right, and strengthen you to do it. And so, once again, we're back to the importance of gathering together in Jesus' name to receive mercy from Him, to give thanks to Him, and to receive from Him the strength to make every day of our lives a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the One who has washed away our sins and made us clean, able to stand before God the Father with a clear conscience through faith alone in Christ Jesus, and worthy to inherit eternal life. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.